Remember asking both my mom and dad why we never travel to exotic lands. We only ever really visit friends. Nothing to tell when the summer ends. We never really went buying clothes. Folks were passing on the stuff in plenty loads. New shoes once a year and then out to play ball so we could ruin them. Mama said that it was okay. Mama said that it was quite.
All right, we are back in part number two with Caroline from Denmark. So Caroline, when did you first come to the United States? Had you been here before you studied here?
No. I mean, I've been here on vacation once on the other coast because we have some far-out family. My grandma's sister immigrated with her Canadian husband, and so my dad wanted to visit that part of the family before they died, basically.
Where do they live?
They live in, like, Boston and Cape Cod. Yeah, his aunt lives in Cape Cod, and then he has, like, some far-out cousins in Boston and, you know, that area. And they're really, really friendly. Oh, my gosh. It was, like, 5 years ago, and the second we stepped into, like, their house, their home, they just embraced us.
Was this the first time you had met them?
Ever. Like, first time ever. They, like, hugged us, and they had, like, a Danish flag, like, when we arrived. And, oh, my gosh, we were so spoiled. And it was, like, they really, like, oh, come back anytime. If you want to travel, we can give you housing. And really, really, like, open-minded, friendly people. Like, I was so, like, welcomed.
How old were you when you went to visit?
Oh, man, it's like 5 years ago, so I must have been 14. Yeah, 14.
And then, so coming to Utah was your second time to the U.S.?
Second time to the U.S., yeah.
Let me ask you first, how did you end up in Utah? Why Utah?
Okay, I traveled through an organization. I knew I was going to take a break from the Danish education system because we're going pretty hard. Our high school is, I'm sorry not to be offensive, but not like yours. We are, like, it's all on you. We have, like, big exam projects where you have to do, like, long, really long assignments on your own. No group work. Like, you're not getting babied in any way. And so, also, when we choose a major, we go straight from, like, directly from high school to university. When you go into a major, we don't do generals. Like, that's over. That was high school. We have a major in high school. That's another thing. And so I was not sure what I wanted to go into. And I know that once you set your mind on something in Denmark, you have to drop out and start over completely if you want to do that. So you have to be sure. You have to make a clever choice. And so I also just needed a break. And I was like, okay. I thought about backpacking for a long time. I really wanted to backpack and see the world. But I knew that coming to the States instead would give me possibility for more education, improving my English, scholarly, like, aspect of it. I would get to really become a part of a culture, not just travel through, but actually, like, really, you know, become a part of it and really get to understand why people live the way they do and stuff like that. And also I could continue my running. So, because I know backpacking, I would not run. You know, I would have a blast for those 3 months and...
You'd have a lot of walking.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of walking.
And I still want to go backpacking someday. I really want to do that too. But yeah, it also has, like, some educational benefits because in Denmark, we look only at your GPA when you want to go into university. So by coincidence, I want to go into medicine right now. And to go into medicine in Denmark is really, really rough. You have to have a really good GPA to get in what we call first round. And first round, they only look at that. Second round, they look at you as a person. What have you been doing in your year off? This is my year off. What have you spent that on? Have you just been, like, going backpacking? Have you been, like, just laying on the couch at home? Or have you been actually out there educating yourself? And so I could actually use on my resume that I've been in the States and studied microbiology and had nutrition class and stuff like that. Like, things I can actually use.
So that'll give you a leg up in the second
round. That will
round.
Definitely give me a chance to get in through second round. But it's really rough to get in. So I'm just crossing my fingers right now.
Well, I think that's such a thoughtful decision that you made because the appeal... Obviously, for me too, I'm like, I want to drop everything and go backpacking.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to make that decision. And I think, you know, coming to the United States, like you said, there's a lot of opportunities for you to work on your language, on just operate in a different academic environment, which can only
That's
be
way
beneficial.
Different. You guys do, like, multiple choice. We do not do that. We have to know everything. So we only do short answers or, like entire assignments when we get tested. So, like, coming over here doing, like, multiple choice, I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, even sometimes when you don't know anything about it, you can, like, do a 50-50 because you can, like, eliminate four of them.
You have a chance.
You have a chance no matter what. But we don't do multiple choice and stuff like that. So, like, just getting used to that different way of testing And also your class, like, your class hours are way shorter. We would have like long hours with the same subject. So that's also like a little bit funny to like adjust to that, like really quick, snap, snap, new class.
Like 50-minute class experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So what were your first impressions of Utah? Like, did you know about Utah before you came here? Or did you do some research? Did you just arrive cold?
I did not know a whole lot. I made my decision to come here because I was traveling through that organization. And they gave me 12 different universities spread all over the United States to choose from. And first off, I eliminated all the ones that didn't have a good track team. That was my number one priority. I want to have a place where I can run. And then I looked at, like, how many people go there. Like, yeah, what area, like, nature-wise. The thing that really appealed to me was the nature in Utah. Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. I was like, and we were, like, so close to Brian Head. I could go skiing. I love skiing. So that, like, really appealed to me in that way. I was considering another university in the other side of the country. But, yeah, SGU ended up attracting me the most. But then after I made my choice, people were like, wait, that's, like, the Mormon place. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, they're super religious. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was pretty just, like, before coming here, like, oh, Mormons, I'm going to become the fifth wife. Like, it's it was a lot of fun talking about that. But I definitely have faced... my bridges, they're totally been broken down. Mormons are such nice people, like, in general, like, they'll not force anything down on you. I was really like, okay, are they going to try to convert me? Like, can they understand that because I'm an atheist. I believe in, like, a higher power, but I want to find it as God. I do not believe in God as such. And so, like, I've talked to a lot of Mormon people about that. Like, really talk to them about, like, why do you believe what you believe in? And I'll give my reasons for what I believe or do not believe in. And as long as you keep that respectful tone, I feel like most of the time they're really not offended by it. They understand you, understand where you're coming from, and they're like, you know what, Caroline, even though you're not believing in God or anything, I'll see you in heaven. You know, like, you're a nice person, like, you treat people with respect, like, that's the most, like, important thing of that. So I've got, like, really, really good experiences with, like, that part of the religious aspect. Like, yeah, it's been really good for me.
You touched on a few things I want to follow up on. So
okay.
First, I think... just from a visual standpoint, when people look at Utah, when they research Utah, same thing. Like, we are at such an advantage here because we are the designated university of the parks.
Oh, yeah.
All of our marketing materials is, like, helicopter views of Zion and Bryce Canyon, and, like, because that's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big selling point for us, and I think something that is really amazing about the student experience here.
Really?
Or not even just student experience, like, my experience coming here. I came here from Denver, and I was really big on hiking there, and I couldn't imagine going to a place where I couldn't do that. And that was something that really attracted me. The other thing is that we talk about stereotypes a lot, like working in international education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always funny because international educators pride themselves on, like, this idea that, like, oh, stereotypes. Like, we're beyond looking at someone and viewing them a certain way. And what I realized is I had my own prejudices about the LDS culture, about
mm-hmm.
Mormons moving here. And I think, as you mentioned, you just relate to someone on a human level. You have a real conversation with them. And if you have the respect and you give that to someone and the dignity,
mm-hmm.
you find often that a lot of your own stereotypes are eliminated and then
exactly.
dispelled.
I feel like that with every, like, type of religion. Like, there's a big thing right now with Muslims and stuff like that. I think it's once you have a conversation with a Muslim, they're not that dangerous. Come on. Like, they're people just like you and me. And, like, having that human interaction, I feel like breaks down a lot of negative feelings towards, like, something you don't know. You're always afraid of the unknown. And so, like, just having a conversation with somebody can really help. I met the most cool persons, and they were, like, returned missionaries. And I was like, what? Like, missionaries? Like, what is that? And then you get to know why they do what they do. And in Denmark, we had, actually, in my town, we had an LDS church not too far away from me. And we were always, like, kind of like, who are they? Like, we never went talk to them. And now I kind of, like, regret that. But you were like, oh, they were, like, with more wives. And, like, I don't know if they respect women. And, like, you had all those, like, thoughts.
The rumors,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, that you never really, like, faced. Which is, like, really bad. I so regret I didn't go talk to them before. I might go talk, you know, just on, like, a friendly level when I come home. Just, like, break that, you know, unknown, not existing bond, like, thing that we have going on.
Well, there you go. I think that's, again, one of the amazing things about stepping out of your comfort zone and moving to a new place is that a lot of times you have experiences that then you take back with you and you reflect on and you say, oh, like I didn't notice this growing up, but now that I've been somewhere else, mm-hmm. now that I've met people, my outlook's changed. My viewpoints changed.
A lot. Like my viewpoints over here, like been so much, like broadened up so much. Again, like politics, religion, guns to a certain extent. Like I'm still coming from that no weapon culture at all. Cover with pepper spray, you're doomed. You know, like we don't have anything in our nightlife or anything. So I still have my own background on that. But I definitely now have an understanding for why people choose what they choose. And I respect that. I do not agree, but I respect.
And that's what's the most important thing, right? Respecting someone's ability to have their own opinion.
If you're ever going to have a discussion with somebody, as long as you keep it respectful, you can have your own opinion as much as you want. Like, I will be able to have a conversation with you as long as we keep it respectful and you listen to me as long as I listen to you.
I think the important thing is to talk about the ideas, like attack...
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe attack's not the best word, but disagree on the idea is not the person. You have to separate those, right?
Don't ever get like too personal, like, oh, your mom sucks. Like, come on.
Which sometimes you devolve into that. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I said that. Right?
Yeah.
It's hard to do sometimes. I have a funny, you mentioned returned missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got here, I was at one of the school events, and there's a Portuguese club here.
Yeah.
And so I spent some time in Brazil and had been studying Portuguese, and so I went up to one of the girls that was in the club and I started speaking Portuguese. She said, oh, are you an RM? And I had no idea what that meant.
Oh.
And I was like, an RM? And I was like, what is that exactly? And she's like, oh, so you must not be an RM. Return missionary. I was like, oh, no,
I
just like to do Duolingo.
Yeah. That's like cool.
But that was another moment. I was just like, oh, I don't know what that is. Tell me. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So that was,
honestly,
that was a welcome to Utah moment.
Honestly, it's really cool to go on missions. Like, they get such a great experience, and, like, I feel like they mature a lot. I say that when you have a conversation with a return missionary, like, in contrast to another American guy, you can tell a huge difference. I mean, no doubt. Like, they're so much more well-educated and well-rounded, and they've seen the other part of the world. They've seen, like, people living with basically nothing and, like, deal with really, like, people in miserable positions, and some of them have a really good second language, like Spanish, man. You should see some of the returned missionaries speaking Spanish with like some of the other international students. It's amazing. They're just like going for it. And I'm like, wow.
They're fluent. I met a missionary when I was in... So I was living in Japan and I traveled to Singapore. And I met a guy at my hostel and he had mentioned he was a missionary in Japan. And he said, oh, I've been there for 6 months. I was like, oh, I've been there for 2 years. And he started trying to speak Japanese with me.
Oh, no.
10 times better than me, easily. I was quickly embarrassed. I was like, actually, I don't know what you're saying to me. Like, haven't you lived there for 2 years? But yeah, I think a lot of what happens in a mission is you develop a lot of independence. I think you also you're doing something really difficult, which is going door to door.
Oh, yeah.
And talking to people, a lot of people are not receptive to that, so rejection is...
Talking about getting
constant.
Out of your comfort zone, man, like, that's legit. It's
I
really...
think there's some real, like, experience there that lends itself to business, to really any field of this idea that rejection is okay. You can bounce back from it. That's when you learn.
If we're going to let you down, no worry. You'll
yeah,
find
and
anyone.
Great communicators, too.
Really good communicators.
Yeah. So, what... have you had any difficulty adjusting to life here? What has been difficult, if there's been anything?
The food, again. I'm sorry, but like we're not used to a lot of fatty foods, except from our pork, of course. Love our bacon. But like you guys put a lot of extra fat and extra sugar in your stuff, and we're not really used to that. So it was a little bit like going to the dining hall in the beginning. I'm not going to talk trash in the dining hall, but when you like scooped up some vegetables and you like looked at your plate afterwards and you thought you were healthy, there's like oil floating around. And I gained my freshman 15 real quick. People say it's a myth. No, it's real. I gained it in one semester, man. I didn't even need a whole freshman year because I got off the running team for a little while because of paperwork and some problems there with the NCAA. That was real fun.
You're right. There is a lack of healthy options. What I would consider honestly healthy options.
Mm-hmm.
In the area,
yeah,
even not even just on campus. But.
No, you have Burger Alley. That's
yeah.
what you call it, right? Like
yeah.
right out there. And we don't have a lot of fast food like that going on. We have more like individual restaurants than food chains. that's a big difference. Like, you guys have a lot of food chains, and that's amazing. Like, it gets you great deals, and when you're a college student, that's great because you're broke all the time. But it's not that healthy on a long span. Like, it's, no.
That's certainly a challenge around here, is trying to make sure that you can eat healthy economically.
Mm-hmm.
Can be a real challenge. Any other challenges that you have experienced?
The altitude, like we talked about being a runner, that was fun.
What about just like dry climate?
My skin has been so dry. I've never dealt with dry skin before. I had a rash on my arm for 3 months. Good 3 months. It's only my sister who gets that. Typically, she has like pretty, sensible skin. And I've never had that before. And I could like wake up in the night, like feeling it, like just scratching all over my body because, yeah, it's like so humid at home, and here it's so different. So like my skin's reacting real bad.
I always wake up in the middle of the night too, and my mouth is really dry. Mm-hmm. I'm like so thirsty. Like every night in the middle of the night, I'm just used to it by now. I just always have a cup of water on my bed.
That's good.
That's something that's just being in a really dry place is inevitable. I think my skin's gotten used to it though. I'm doing okay. Was there anything that surprised you about the United States that you maybe didn't anticipate?
That's a good question. Like, I know that you guys are pretty open-minded. Like, as I said with my family before, like, you guys are really welcoming and really interested in international students, which is great most of the time. And so that really didn't surprise me. I did expect the food to be different. I was warned about that. And I mean, of course, the religion, like, kind of caught me a little off guard. I was, like, not really knowing what to expect and stuff like that. So, like, the whole tea and coffee drinking. I did not see that coming.
Oh, not being able to drink tea and coffee, yeah.
What is up with that? I was like, okay, I kind of expected, like, the absence of, like, sex before marriage and the not getting drunk part, but like, tea and coffee, man. Like, that's, like, the basic foundation of surviving high school in Denmark. You have to drink coffee to stay up to get those assignments done. So, like, coming here and, like, people being like, oh, yeah, I can't stay doing tea and coffee. It was, like, so much fun. And the exact same roommate that I went, one of my roommates that I moved in with the first semester, I was, like, just asking her questions. So, like, okay, so you can't drink tea or coffee. Can you, like, donate blood? Can you, like, get blood from somebody else? Because that's a big thing in some religions. And I didn't know what to expect. She, like, laughed at me, like, yeah, we can do that. And I was, like, I don't know what to expect now. Like, tea and coffee, man.
That one was a big... I knew about some of the restrictions as well in the LDS religion, but it's still something I still wonder about sometimes. But that's, you know, that's their decision, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I've talked a lot about that. I really, like I said, I'm not afraid to take up a healthy discussion as long as we keep mutual respect about anything, basically. And so I've talked a lot about religion over here because I really want to understand. I'm still an atheist. I'm not going to change, but I want to understand why you believe what you believe. And so sometimes it's a little bit, like, iffy, like, a little bit fluffy. Can't really always put a finger on that. That's why. But a tea and coffee is, like, you shouldn't be drinking anything that can make you, like, addicted. And, okay, I admit, coffee is addictive.
It is
really addictive. But I feel like the same with sugar, like, soda and stuff like that. There's a lot of sugar content in that, and that's kind of addictive, too, but...
Usually my follow-up question as well, but hey.
Yeah, but you know what? I respect them, and, like, I mean, caffeine is not good in a large dose, and, you know, it's their choice, and I think it's, if that what makes them happy and keep them healthy in their mind, like, that's great. That's good for them.
I'm with you on the tea and coffee drinking. I am an unabashed caffeine addict, I tried to get off the coffee for a while, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I like... Not only the effect, I like the taste. I like
it's cozy, like it's warm, it's nice. Like
I like the process, like making it in the morning too. It's like it's a ritual.
Oh, you blend it yourself?
Oh yeah. I grind the coffee beans.
Oh no,
That
smells so good.
Yeah,
that's quality coffee, man. I can't wait to get back to that.
One of our students from Costa Rica, Reynaldo, he brought me some coffee from Costa Rica. That was amazing.
And I need to get some.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, that wraps up part two. We will be back with Caroline for part three, where we'll talk about some questions our listeners have for her and then some interesting facts about Denmark. Stay tuned.